ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Thursday, July 25th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. I guess you're doing all right. I'm getting a little worried. You were a little bit late coming to join us here.
I never miss my program.
Unless something happens, so don't scare me that way no more. Anyway,
okay.
It's good to be here with you, Melody.
All right. I'm a little late once in a while, but anyway, thank you for worrying about me, though. It's nice to have people worry about me.
Well, some people do care, you know.
Yes, I know. That's very nice. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
That's all right.
And some of us care about gold and silver. But I'll tell you what, gold and silver, a little pressure today, but I'll tell you what. We have gold, let's see where we're at, $1,414, down 11 bucks. Not bad, not bad. Silver down 20 cents, still at 1647. Platinum was down 11 at 870, and palladium was down 10 at 1536. And I think all this is about is, you hear more of the IMF and everyone else calling about everything, the global economy declining. And so all your industrial metals went down, and so you had, gold follow along for a little bit. And I think that's all that is happening. I mean, you're going to hear people say, oh, they're taking profits, this and that. You know, not in the spot market, so in the shares and the paper markets perhaps, but I think this is just a couple day blip, and I think they're setting it up for next week, so for the Fed meeting. So that's what I think. The dollar was a little bit stronger, 0.14 at 97.82. And it's just funny, the more President Trump talks about a weaker dollar, talks more about letting it crash and so forth, the stronger it gets. So, again, he needs to stop talking. If he wants a weaker dollar, stop talking. Crude oil was up 16 cents at 56.04. And the paper markets, the Dow was down 128 points at 27,140. NASDAQ was down 1% at 82.38. S&P was down 0.5%, down 15 points, 3,003. And 10-year yield, 2.07%. European and Asian markets, quiet. And, still a lot of leftovers from yesterday's meeting on the Hill with Mueller, and that hearing going on and everything. So,
I got to say something here. You know, I just read an article that Democrats are on suicide watch.
It isn't funny about suicide, but
talk about a letdown. I mean, all that hype, all that buildup, everything like it had been for the last, 2.5 years, and nothing. Nothing new.
There was absolutely nothing new, but Mueller already said there wouldn't be anything new.
Yeah.
So I don't know where they were heading and what they were doing. It was just a recap. But there are some interesting things in there. And people did go to jail. And people did lie. I don't know what to think of all that. You know, these were all the fall men. And so I don't know what to think of that, Butch.
I don't know either. I just know that they were. I think some people, especially maybe some of the Democrats, were looking for a real big bombshell to go off and give them all kinds of ammunition to impeach Trump and whatever they can do to slow him down. And I'm not a Trumpeteer. I'm not. But after so long a time, after 2.5 years, starting to get old.
And I'll tell you what, I was shocked, surprised at his condition. Now, I don't know. He seemed to get a little bit better as the day wore on. So, and I'm talking about Mueller.
Right.
And, he looked old. He looked almost defeated to some degree. He almost looked, you know, but, you know, as I said, as the day wore on, he seemed to get a little better. He seemed to have more of his wits about him. And I'll tell you what, I mean, and I'll tell you what, sitting there with all that, but he's used to the limelight, so that should not have bothered him. I mean, he's used to the press. He's used to the meetings. He's used to, you know, these pressures. So you wouldn't think that that would bother him as much. But, you know, it was just another distraction.
It was.
Just another, I don't know what, but good grief, move on. On the finance markets today, you know, you have... the ECB, the European Central Bank, is opening their doors to rate cuts. The Eurozone yields, they hit record lows. ECB prepares some sub-zero relief. They're getting some really hot temperatures in the European Union. But the European Central Bank is, you know, their economy is declining. We had the U.S. trade deficit that surged to a five-month high as imports are soaring. So just some headlines as far as, you know, pressures on world economies.
Yes, it is. It isn't just here. It's everywhere. Australia is going through is in a mess. I mean, you can name country after country, and a lot of them are, the economies are collapsing. Of course, we know Venezuela is collapsing big time, but that's just one of many. Maybe they're not as severe as Venezuela yet, but they're going down. Their economies are going. But, Melanie, they all run on fiat currency. It has to happen.
The Turkey central banker, they have the biggest rate cut on record. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these are not actions of everything is okay. They're trying to prevent what happened prior to 2008. 2008, they just left it go. And then they came back and they tried to bring it back. They tried to stem the losses and then recreate another illusion that everything was getting better. Now they're trying to stem it from happening. It's not going to be successful. We're going to have another 2008 times 10. So, or more. So it's a dangerous game that these central banks are playing. But your politicians and your governments are going right along with it.
It had been a Ponzi scheme. It's been working, the fiat currency part, at least since 1964 when the silver was taken out of the dollar.
Sure.
That was the last vestige of any value to the dollar, you know. And a little bit after a while, we get a chance to share some comments from our founding fathers about paper money. But, you know, in 1971, when Nixon took us off the gold standard for international trade, gold was going for $35 an ounce. Now it's well over $1,400. So... what does that show? Does that show the dollar got stronger or got weaker in the last 40 years? Now, people need to think about 50 years. Need to think about that. There's just something wrong. With gold was 35 cents an ounce in 1971. Now it's $1,400-some, Melody. That should show you what inflation does with fiat currency, shouldn't it?
Absolutely. And it's not going to change.
It's not going to change. It's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse. So... ECB is paving ways for fresh stimulus. And, you know, headline after headline. German manufacturing reports industry in free fall. So, again, these are, you know, you name a country, and we can read about how bad their economies are. The stress that their economies are under.
Very true. Well, you know, I just read an article here. The $6 trillion pension bailout is coming. And I thought this was talking about us and talking about financial mess. It says fiscal responsibility is dead. This past week, Trump announced that he had reached an agreement with Congress to pass a continuing resolution, which will suspend the debt ceiling until July 2021. I mean, it's 2 years from now. The good news is that it'll only increase spending by $320 billion, What a bargain, right? No, it's a lie. This is just the starting point of proposed spending. Without debt ceiling, no constrained spending, the actual spending will be substantially higher. Now, this is interesting. However, the $320 billion is also deceiving because that is on the top of the spending we have already committed. In other words, we're just going to add that much more to it right now. We're not cutting anything. We're adding that much more to it. In 2018, the federal government spent $4.48 trillion, which was equivalent to 22% of the nation's entire GDP. Of that spending, only $3.5 trillion was financed by federal revenues, and $986 billion was financed through debt, almost another $1 trillion. In other words, if 75% of all expenditures in social welfare and interest on the debt, those payments required $3.36 trillion of the $3.5 trillion, or 96% of the revenue coming in. Now, this is for social, you know, Social Security and Medicaid and all that. So think about that, Melody. And they took the debt ceiling off. They can spend what they want to until July 2021. Isn't that exciting?
It's very exciting for those of us who own gold and silver.
Exactly. But, I mean, you know, this is a Ponzi scheme. It has to collapse. And surely people can see this. People that are living on retirement benefits, like Social Security, for example, has the increases in Social Security kept up with inflation? Anywhere near inflation, real inflation? It hasn't covered a fraction of what inflation has been, because they can't cover it. So if this is this bad right now, and they've took the ceiling off spending, what's going to happen in the next 2 years? We need to think about these things. We truly do. If we're having a hard time making it now, what's going to be like in 2 years from now? So I had to just throw that in there because I thought that was a very important point you're making. With all the debt of all the foreign nations, America is no better off than the rest of them.
No, absolutely. And again, you know, and it used to be the Republican Party was the party of, you know, fiscal responsibility.
Sure.
I mean, they gave you lip service, but at least they gave you lip service. Now you don't even get that. Now, and you know what? I understand. It does amaze me how quiet these Republican politicians truly are. You don't see, I mean, once in a while, other than Lindsey Graham, he's all over the news. But it used to be, you know, the news media would go after the Rand Pauls, your normal politicians and so forth. You don't hear any of them barely say anything anymore. Once in a while, you get a little bit of a blurb from Rand Paul if he goes against the grain, but it's a simple statement. They don't get interviewed anymore. They don't say anything anymore. I don't ever recall Republicans or any group of politicians being as quiet, and they're saying absolutely nothing.
Makes you wonder why. Is it because they have nothing to say? Are they ashamed of how they failed? Which I doubt very seriously. I don't think they feel any shame. Or they have nothing really to offer to make any difference. I just wonder what that is, what that's all about.
Well, they always have their constituents that they have to please.
Sure.
So,
yes.
You know, I can't imagine that they wouldn't have anything to say, but they're not saying it.
Maybe sometimes it's better for the vote count to keep the mouth shut.
I mean, the only one that is speaking basically for the Republican Party is President Trump.
I agree.
So where's everybody else?
Good question.
And I'm not a supporter of any of those politicians. They're, you know, like the Cruzes. I mean, Cruz, when's the last time you saw him being interviewed? I can't recall.
And honestly, you think about it, how much support are even the Democratic presidential candidates really getting now? They get a blurb once in a while, but do you see a lot of support for any of them coming from the news? It's kind of like everything got quiet.
Well, you do see a lot to some degree, yeah. Of course, they're having their debate next week, but...
Yeah, you hear a blurb, but this one said, well, this, Warren said the economy's going to collapse, and just things like that, but as far as concentrating on any one of them, you know, they said Biden's ahead of Trump in Ohio. You know, and that's about all they're saying. They're not really getting anything at any depth that I can see. pro or con, basically, and what was going on.
No, it really did kind of stop.
It did.
And you know what? Maybe it kind of stopped after we saw Biden start losing in the polls. When he started losing and his numbers started going away, maybe that's when we kind of saw a lot of the attention on some of these other candidates slip away. I don't know. It's just an observation. And it'll all be different next week. Who knows after the debates. But yeah, I read that Elizabeth Warren's her warning on the recession and so forth. And it's just like, oh, good grief.
How many times have we heard that run by about every candidate there is, including Trump? We got to change this or we're going to lose it all. But, you know, J.P. Morgan now says that they believe that the dollar is going to lose its status as a world reserve currency. And I got a question for you on this because I think it's important. You know, all currencies eventually do lose that. They may have it for a while, but they will lose it. And American, the dollar is no different. It will lose the world's reserve currency status. What's that going to mean to us, Melody, whenever we lose the reserve currency status? What's that going to mean to us economically?
Well, I think the difficult part of replacing the dollar as a reserve currency status is that, you know, what, 85%, 90% of the world's financial transactions are done in the dollar. That just doesn't go away. So, I mean, I go back to the point of that doesn't mean the dollar is not going to lose value. That doesn't mean that, you know, where we're looking at 97, it can't go to 50. If it went from 97 to 50, it's going to seem like it's at zero for everybody. It's going to seem like it's at zero. So, again, I'm back to the, you know, what they're going to do is they're going to stabilize. They'll have to do it. I don't know how they would gradually remove the U.S. dollar from the reserve currency status. I mean, certainly we've seen countries begin to do business in other currencies. That's put pressure on the dollar.
Sure.
You know, and I think this is the repositioning of countries anymore. I think that's why right now we're, you know, doing everything possible to help the Saudis and everything else. We're seeing changes in our partnerships and allies and stuff. I think it's all about repositioning ourselves. We know China came out after the Great Recession of 2008. They said they didn't believe that the one currency should be the reserve currency. So I think what they might do, and I've said this, I've been talking about this for years and years and years, and you're beginning to see more and more people make the same comment, is having a trading basket with gold in there to support the manipulations of currencies, and that will help stabilize all of them. And but it isn't good. It isn't good. Be right back, ladies and gentlemen. It isn't good that we're heading into a break, but we have to. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And, of course, sign up for our newsletter, and you can listen to these programs live. And what's going on, Butch?
Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to put a plug in for our magazine, too. It's free online. And it's called the Minuteman News. Anybody wants to sign up by email, they'll just email me at pastorbutch@startmail, like starting a car, startmail.com. I'll put them on the list. This month's magazine is the biggest ever put out, Mel, and it's 92 pages long.
Wow.
It's packed full of information. And it's the biggest ever put out, but I have the information I want to get out because it's starting back up on me here. Folks, email me at pastorbutch@startmail.com. I'll put you on the list to receive August magazine. You'll love it. All I ask you to do is, if you like it, is share it with all your friends on your mailing list. I want to reach all we can as fast as we can. It's that important. PastorButch@startmail.com. But anyway, Trump did something here I think's a good idea. He empowered ICE to fast-track the backlog of illegal alien court cases. Now, and I'm going to share this, and I think it's a good idea. A new rule implemented by the Trump administration will dramatically empower the ICE agency and begin clearing the massive backlog of cases waiting to be adjudicated by immigration courts. The rule, published in the Federal Register on Tuesday, expands and speeds the deportation of illegal aliens by stripping away court oversight, thereby enabling ICE and other immigration authorities to remove migrants in days instead of months or years. I think that's a good move. The backlog is getting kind of big, Melody. Don't you think that's a good idea to move along a little faster?
Well, yeah, it is.
You know, so I don't know, you know.
But does that fix the problem on why they're coming here?
Well, of course not. All I can do is maybe send some back quicker. But, you know, it's just, I don't have all the answers. I think Trump had the right answer before he's elected. Shut down all the borders, permanent, to everybody, until we get everything lined out and put back in some kind of organized way. But that's not going to happen. We know it's not going to happen. Even when he said it, I knew it wouldn't happen. And too many fingers in the pot, in the pie to try to do that. Too many people are going to complain. But it would have been a good idea. Just shut it down and say, we need to reorganize, and we're not doing so well here. We need to close down the border and make this right and get organized. But, of course, I said that didn't happen, and there's no way he could do it by himself. And even if he meant it, he couldn't do it by himself. But this is a step in the right direction to at least clear up some of the backlog, perhaps. You know, I think it's a good move. You know, time will tell. It always does.
Or are they just going to rubber stamp all these and then just, you know, so it's just let them in anyway?
Well, you know,
that's what fast track is. You get a piece of paper, you stamp it, pass it on, and it's done. No one gets vetted. No one gets, you know, it's just, that's fast tracking. Rubber stamp it. Next.
Okay, next. And I do want to share. This is important. I do believe it's important. I want to waste too much time if you didn't think it was.
I meant next as far as the people, not next.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I didn't mean you.
Of course not. You don't want me around, I understand. Oh, gracious. Oh, yeah, I hear you. So anyway, you tell me when next means something else now.
Okay.
Oh, gracious.
Next.
We have a good time on here. We do. We have a good time on the show. Folks, this program is a lot of fun to do. I wish you could join us sometime because it is a lot of fun, as you can tell. We cover a lot of serious things. We do cover a serious topic, a lot of topics, but we have a good time doing it. And I thank God for that. Laughter worketh good. Merry heart worketh good like a medicine, so laughter is good for us. But I did want to share a couple comments about some of the quotes from our founders about why they would not tolerate paper money. Now, Roger Sherman, by the way, if you know who he was one of the founding fathers, if you want to call him that. He was a cobbler when he started in his life, and then he switched over and become a lawyer, believe it or not. But he's the author of Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution that says no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. He said that for a reason, but I'll just let this sink in a minute. No state will make anything but gold and silver coin. He didn't say anything about printing paper. He didn't say no state shall print only greenbacks. Or no state shall print only whatever. No. If you look at the old dollar bills, Melody, $20 bills, $100 bills, whatever, you'll see on there that it says at the top, silver certificate or gold certificate. And at the bottom, this is redeemable in $5 of silver at any bank. And it says right on the dollar bill that this is no legal tender for all debts, public and private, and is redeemable in lawful money. Now, think about that, Melody. Right on the bill itself, it says this is not lawful money. This is a coupon, so to speak, that you have lawful money in the bank. Anyone who bears this note, paid to the bearer on demand, can take this paper and go to the bank and redeem whatever the amount may be, $5, $10, $1,000, whatever, of lawful money. But they said right on the bills, this is not lawful money. Now, does that make a difference? Do you think, Melly? You think that's an important point?
Of course it is.
You know, and so why? How do we get so deceived that we really think that we're passing around real money with a piece of paper? I mean, we have been so deceived. Now, we're not the first nation it happened to, obviously. It's happened to countless nations who went down the tube because of it. We can name a bunch of them. But our founders knew that this would not work. And they put it in the Constitution to make a law that nothing else could be used. Now, what's Constitution? Who knows? Nobody reads it. But Thomas Jefferson said in 1786, paper money has had the effect in your state that will ever have to ruin commerce, oppress the honest, and open the door to every species of fraud and injustice. Have we seen fraud and injustice in our government, Melody, over money?
We certainly have.
Have we seen the thievery of the people's assets in their homes because of money and because of inflation? Do we not know that people are losing their homes to taxes because taxes go up? Because inflation? Folks, this is for real. Jefferson also said in 1788, paper is poverty. It is only the ghost of money and not money itself. That's what the point is. They would issue a coupon to you, because gold and silver is heavy to carry. They give you a $10 coupon and make it redeemable in gold or silver at the bank. Banks don't even have gold and silver anymore to issue.
They don't even have the money. They don't even have the fiat money.
They really, truly don't. I had a friend of mine who sold some timber. It was a considerable amount. I don't remember. Maybe $50,000, something like that, in timber. He went to the bank to cash the check. He had to wait 2 days to get the money in. They had to order the money. Now, let that sink in a minute. They had to order the money. How do you order money? Who do you order money from? I want to place an order, Melody. Where to order from?
Yeah, I want to go. Can they do it online?
You know, this is true. This really happened. I know the man personally. So they had to order some money in. And I got to ask somebody sometime that's up in the banking outfit, the bank somewhere that maybe higher up than most of them, how do y'all order money? Do you call up the Fed and say, send me $100,000? Or do you call the next branch? Or who do you order from?
And well, certainly, yes.
It's a question. But, you know, the Jefferson also said that if we're going to determine that a dollar is going to be our unit, then we have to say what a dollar is. So the Coinage Act 1792 said it very clearly, that a dollar is worth 371.25 grains of pure silver or 24.75 grains of pure gold. That's what a dollar is. It's not paper. It's either gold or silver of a specific amount. Anything other than that is no good. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, think about that. And Ron Paul said this, the Latin term fiat roughly translates to there shall be, When we refer to fiat currency, fiat money, we're referring to money that exists because the government declares it into existence. Now let that sink in. Declares it into existence. Fiat money is exchanged in the economy as long as there's faith in the government that issues it. History has shown that fiat money, or faith-based currency, always fails because when governments claim the power, they always behave irresponsibly. Woo! Isn't that good? It's faith-based currency, Melody. It works because we think it works. I mean, that's insane. But I've done it all my life, and you have too. We didn't know any better for years. But, you know, it's just amazing how, you know, we see that, you know that the Soviet Union went through a mess with their ruble, and Zimbabwe went under, Venezuela's going under. How much longer before America says, you know, this fiat currency is no longer working? It can't work forever. Roger Sherman also wrote in this article, The Caveat of Injustice, in 1752, no government has the right to impose on its subject any currency to be received in payments as money which is not of intrinsic value, because in so doing they would oblige men to part with their estates for that which is worth nothing in itself and which they don't know will ever procure him anything. In other words, he said, when the government makes you use paper monies or fiat currencies, you are forced to sell your goods for something of no intrinsic value. Nothing of value at all, except we think it's of value. Eventually, that does crumble, doesn't it?
Well, sure.
So, people, I'm telling you, because I care for you, you got to call Melody. Get something in your hand of intrinsic value. If you pick up a silver dollar and hold it in your hand, you just know by looking at it and feeling it that this is something worthwhile. It's tangible. It's not paper. It's somebody had to dig it out of the ground. Somebody had to smelt it and stamp it, and labor made it worth something on top of the fact that it's a rare metal, just like gold. It's intrinsic value. A piece of paper comes off a printing press, it's worth a piece of paper and ink. That's it. I'm trying to tell you this because I really care for you. One day, if you don't do something to change your future, it's going to change anyway, but not for the good. Now, that's about the best I can say it, Melody. I don't know else to say it.
You know, everybody says that when we talk about this reality that we're gloom and doomers, we're not.
We're telling
it's
the truth.
It's reality. And if you think, and yeah, truth hurts. Well, I remember that from being a child. Truth hurts. And the thing of it is, people also say, well, you know, we've been told this for how many years that this whole system's going to collapse, and here we are today, and blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing over and over and over again. Well, you know what? Maybe it won't happen in our lifetime. But what about your children? What about your grandchildren? And I've seen the bumper stickers out there, hey, I'm spending my children's inheritance. Well, some are. But those of you who want to protect your children after you're gone, if you have an inheritance that you want to distribute your wealth to them, don't you want to? It could happen in their lifetime.
Well, Melody, I want to say something too.
And I do believe that it's going to be sooner than later. And no one really knows how this is going to play out, because we are in uncharted waters.
We sure are. And the economy has been collapsing since 1900s, when the gold was taken out of the circulation. And since 1964, now folks, listen to me, because I'm telling you the truth. Think about this. Gold itself was only worth $35 an ounce back in 1971. Now it's over $1,400. That's how much the dollar has decreased in value. No, the dollar doesn't necessarily have to die. Boom! Drop dead of a heart attack. It may come in slow progression, which it is. And every day the dollar is worth less and less and less. So when you say, well, I heard that before, open your eyes, people. It's losing ground every day. You're losing every day. Do we have to sit down and explain to you that A, B, C, D, E, F, G, or can you not figure out that you lose the money every day with the dollar? Think about it. And you got me started again, didn't you?
Next.
I mean, really and truly, just think about this. Just reason together. Does your dollar buy as much as it did 10 years ago? Does your paper dollar buy you as many hot dogs or even one hot dog as they like did, say, 10 years ago. I remember going to the drive-in theater when I was a young man with my dad and mom and brother. We bought 12 hot dogs for $1 because it was a silver certificate. We got in the theater for $3 a carload of people. So we had a night out, Melody, for $5 or less with four people and food to eat and everything. So as a dollar went down in value since then, what's a movie ticket cost now? I don't know. I never go. What does a ticket cost? $10? I don't know.
Oh, it's more. Well, I don't think you can walk out with less than $20.
So the dollar has lost that much value in my lifetime, since the 60s. So people, the commie is collapsing. Every day, the commie is collapsing because it's called inflation. The valuing of the dollar is collapsing. Now we have socialists in office, socialists running for office, that want to take it down further. And boy, when it happens, when it does get there, we're going to make Venezuela look like a picnic. You better think about that. The Bible says, to whom much given, much required. We've been given a lot. We've been blessed tremendously. But we're losing our common sense. We're going to lose it all. But China is also having a problem. China's bank with $100 billion in assets is about to collapse. This is in China. While the Western world and much of the Eastern had been preoccupied with predicting the consequences of Trump's accelerating global trade or tech war, and whether the Fed will launch QE before or after it sends rates back to zero, Beijing has quietly had its hands full with avoiding a bank run in the aftermath of a Bosheng Bank failure and keeping the interbank market, which has been on the verge of freezing, alive. Unfortunately for the PBOC, Beijing was racing against time to prevent a widespread panic after it opened the Pandora's box when it seized Beijing Bank, the first official bank failure in an odd replay of what happened with Bear Stearns back in 2008, when J.P. Morgan was gifted with the historic bank for pennies of a dollar. And with the domino number one down, the question turned to who is next, and it could be China's Lehman Bank. Now, folks, this is for real. This is in China even. A panic in China. It's worldwide. And when it affects China, it will affect us. What do you think, Melanie?
Well, of course, that's what globalism is all about. And we're not, there is a contagion because we're all so interlinked. And so all economies are slowing down. It's just a fact.
It is.
And it's just a fact. And this is a fact. We're heading into a break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is...
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. What about Rocket Man, Butch? North Korea is launching two short-range missiles. He's just doing it again tonight. Military leaders in neighboring South Korea says a surprise launch took place in the Wonsan region in east of the Rogue State, and both projectiles traveled around 270 miles before falling into the Sea of Japan, which is also known as the East Sea. And it is the first missile test reported since President Trump and North Korean leader met in the demilitarized zone, DMZ, between the two Koreas, and that was the end of June, a month ago. So no one immediately responded for requests for comment, either the White House, Pentagon, or the State Department. I don't know, I don't know if they have since, but it's interesting, and, who knows, maybe Kim Jong-un did the missile thing to distract from the Mueller hearing, maybe.
You never know. There's a lot of things heating up all around the world, a lot of things heat up. We'll share some more with that in a minute, but go ahead.
Yeah, but when I hear people say, it's just a short-range missiles, it's no big deal. It is a big deal.
They'll reach Japan, even short-range.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, not only just short range, or South Korea.
Yeah, sure.
We have our military bases down there. We would go to war just like that. So it is a big deal. And I don't know. We're not privy to the agreements between Trump and Kim Jong-un. Maybe this was one of the agreements that was done behind closed doors. You know what, Kim? You can go ahead and do those short-range missiles, but lay off those long-range missiles, or I'm going to have to get tougher on you. That way you'll be able to defend yourself from South Korea and, those areas around you. You'll be able to protect that, and I agree. Go ahead and do that, but stay away from those long, long missiles. Just do the short ones. That's okay, and I won't say anything. Think that's possible?
Who knows, Mel? Like you said, I wasn't there, so I couldn't tell you for sure.
But that's the only thing that really makes sense.
It does.
Why would he be doing this unless someone has told him it's okay to do it?
Maybe China told him it's okay to do it. Go ahead. Don't worry about the USS.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, he's not negotiating with China.
China's on their side. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, no, it would have to be with the person that they're negotiating with. I'm just saying.
I understand. I do. I'm not. This is not a preaching program, but that the scripture tells Matthew 24 that.
I just want to add something else to that.
Sure.
Bolton was in South Korea.
Who was?
Bolton.
Oh, really?
Yes, he was in South Korea when this went on, and the senior official, U.S. administration official, says they did make a comment. We are aware of reports of a short-range projectile launched from North Korea, but we have no further comment. To me, that tells me they knew exactly that was going to happen, and Bolton was there. So,
well, they're not too concerned, obviously.
No. So to me, it's like, maybe we gave them the okay to do it.
It's hard to say. I don't know. That's above my pay grade. You know, but talking about things happening with wars and rumors of wars. And Matthew 24 talks about this, and there'll be wars, rumors of wars, and all over all the world. I mean, kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation. And the Bible says that's just the beginning of sorrows. But you look at this. The U.S. now is pushing allies to send warships toward Iran. The latest neocon scheme is to push U.S. allies to send warships to join the U.S.-led mission to keep the Strait of Hormuz free and clear for shipping. In reality, it is a trigger for war. Thus far, the U.S. has no takers for the clear escalation. Will Bolton's brigade begin appealing away the EU holdouts? In other words, no one's biting yet to be lured into a war with Iran, but the U.S. is pushing for that to bring in more ships that they supposedly to protect the shipping. I don't know. Now the U.S. also sending a warship through Taiwan Strait hours after China warned it is ready for war. So I don't know who's picking on who here. I don't know who's trying to escalate this. I really don't know. It says there are a few possibilities and necessities for China to possess military power to revoke the U.S. But if attacked by the U.S., China must be able to just cause unbearable losses, folks, to the U.S. And believe me, they could. The U.S. military said on Wednesday that the guided missile cruiser has sailed through the Taiwan Strait just hours after Chinese military criticized Washington for adding complexity to the regional security and warned it to stay clear of the Strait and island or else risk war. My, Melody, I mean, we're talking about this going on in a lot of different fronts.
It certainly is. And we have our good friend Ivan calling in today. We haven't heard from Ivan in a long time, Butch.
Okay.
So
right,
let's bring Ivan on to the program. Good afternoon, Ivan.
Good afternoon, Melody and Pastor Butch. How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
Well, it could be better. I had some problems with my knee, but that went away, so.
Praise the Lord.
I'm good to go, you know, as they say. Yeah, I heard you were talking about Korea and some of the other areas where the fire can be sparked, which is the isthmus of Persia, by Persia. Which is Iran, and of course the two ships, which are one held by UK and one by Iran, which I think it's the first one, which was pirated, was really pirated by UK and US command to do it. Where the Spanish indicated it was in their waters. And they put a protest in, I don't know if it was in UN or direct protest to UN, to UK, but that sparked the taking of the other ship, which is now in Iran's end, a UK ship it's not as big, that's a super tanker which the British hold, and this is just a normal tanker. Which came out of the Gulf. So that's one area which certainly can be brought to to a spark and cause possibly a shooting war, which. Presently, I don't. It might hold off for a while, but Korea, as far as I'm concerned, I think that's just Kim's doing a little
muscle flexion.
Celebration.
Muscle flexion. Yeah.
Yeah, muscle flexion, right? And the other thing is that I think we have U.S. does isn't U.S. Supposed to have. Maneuvers with the South Korea in next month or
yes,
so.
Yes.
So I think he's just giving a little warning that I still can shoot some missiles. So don't have the maneuvers. I thought that was agreed that they would not, or I don't know if it was for 1 year or 2 years or whatever. But, So, like I said, that may cause a problem. But I think the biggest thing which can cause will be Jerusalem, because presently Israel is knocking down house after house of the East Jerusalem.
That's true.
Of the, you know. And I think Iran and some of the other countries, Arab countries, have drawn I think that's a red line for them. So I don't know how far they'll be pushing. And that could be the big spark, I think, which will cause... eventually, I think Jerusalem will be destroyed, because Christ, according to the Bible, will come with a new Jerusalem from the heaven. As I read the Bible, that he will come with a new Jerusalem, so the old Jerusalem will have to be wiped out or destroyed or whatever. And that's when Christ will come back to the earth. But I think that is kind of held under the blanket to not much is being said about it. You know.
No, it's not.
But what is your opinion on that? As far as I see on internet they are doing major destruction of housing, and they are moving very fast.
And, well, you asking my opinion or Imelda's? Either one. I mean,
you give your opinion, Butch.
Well, Israel plays a part in the last day wars for sure. And now people may not want to hear this, but the Israel there now, although it's prophesied to be there, is not the Israel of the Bible. It wasn't the Old Testament. Not the same people. Not the same territory even. But this has to happen to bring forth the Third World War, which we will see. And it would originate in the Middle East, with probably Israel as a main catalyst, and the U.S. being a pawn of Israel will, as they were told in Jeremiah, will be the hammer that hammers the whole earth into shape for the New World Order. That's who U.S. is. That's us. That's the end time Babylon. So that's what I see happening.
People. Yeah.
I see that happening very clearly. It's coming out very quickly.
Yeah, I agree that U.S. is Babylon in the Bible. In fact, in the book of Revelation, where they say that that the country Babylon will be destroyed, and all the merchants of the world will cry because they won't be able to make business with Babylon anymore.
Right. It's mentioned through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Revelation, we're all through there.
Yeah, yeah. So I think Babylon is U.S. and, eventually will be destroyed, during a Third World War.
I agree.
I agree that Israel will also be big. And the other thing is now, actually, like you said, Israel is not really the true
Israel, the Bible.
Israelites of the, they are Ashkenazi.
Yes,
they are Khazar Jews. Their religion is Jewish, but yes, it's not the true Jewish religion. The other thing is they get offended when you say anti-Semitic things, but they are not Semites. So no. Semites are darker people, like Lebanese,
Actually, the Arabic people are Semites. Really, the darker people, like you said, a lot of them are the Semites, not the ones in Israel.
That's correct.
We're running out of time. Mel, do you want to add anything?
No, I think you guys are doing great, and that's your area of expertise, Butch.
Well, tie along with people talking about wars here. The draft is going to come. Now, I'm going to tell you how I'm basing this draft. You know that the military is lowering the age of enlistment to 16. They're literally that desperate for young men, lowering the age of enlistment to 16. And when that fails, the draft will have to come, because when we go to war with Iran or anybody else, don't have the manpower that they want. So the draft will be 16-year-olds. But here's another thing people don't think about. Your daughters will be eligible for draft also.
Well, this is, you see, the women in fighting started in during the Second World War.
Sure.
Under the Soviet regime. I mean,
well, the Soviets and Germans both were drafting 14-year-old boys.
Yeah, boys, but not women.
But the
Russians had women. In fact, I read a book from the Belgian general who was commander of the Belgian and French SS troops in the East. He said they were shooting, and he shot, and he, you know, the soldier, you know,
right, was a female.
A Russian fell over, and her, you know, front was exposed, and he couldn't believe that it's a woman, you know.
Well, yeah, that's coming. America decayed to the point that, you know, they don't want any distinction between sexes any longer. So women want to go to combat, they're going to get to do it. But we're heading into a real mess here. I'm not a prophet, but my prediction is that within less than a year, we're going to be in a world of hurt, world with a war, I should say. Not world war, but at least a war.
Well, I think we'll be in a war, full war, I think. I agree with you.
Okay.
All righty. Well, thank you, Ivan, for calling. We're out of time. Thank you, Butch, and we'll be back tomorrow. I'll be here with James Corbett tomorrow. So make sure you tune in, and until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.